I'm Paul Wiegraf, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me in the studio is the producing artistic director of Delaware Shakespeare, David Stradley. Welcome, David.
Always good to be here. Thanks for having me on, Paul.
So glad to have you here to both promote the upcoming summer festival, Much Ado About Nothing, but also to talk about the broader programming that Delaware Shakespeare has been doing, expanding tremendously over your 16-year history.
We are broadening. That is true.
but first, let's talk about this summer's production a little bit, Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah, so this is actually the second time we've done Much Ado. The 12 years ago when we first moved out to Rockwood Park, Much Ado About Nothing was the first show we did at Rockwood. And as you said, you know, our company has changed so much since then that we're really excited to revisit, you know, one of Shakespeare's greatest romantic comedies now that we're a little bit older, have a little more experience as a company. So we're really aiming for this production to be a joyous community celebration of love and hope and community, really. So it's, you know, it's got two sets of lovers, you know, a great comedic hero, a great comic villain. So it's got dancing, it's got live music, it's got a party, it's got two weddings. So, you know, we're ready for a great time.
Now, where does Much Ado About Nothing fall in the chronological spectrum of Shakespeare's work?
It's one of his kind of middle plays, one of his mature comedies. You know, it wasn't quite one of his early just silly ones like Two Gentlemen of Verona of Comedy of Errors. You know, it's not just about young love. So it's kind of right smack dab in the middle, you know, right where he was at the height of his powers. So it doesn't get much better than Benedict and Beatrice as they spar and match wits and then fall head over heels in love.
And you're well into rehearsal at this point?
Yes, the production is staged. We're polishing, we're refining. We've been out at Rockwood Park building our set, so we are getting ready to welcome people out to Rockwood for Summer in Shakespeare Under the Stars.
And the dates for the festival?
We perform July 13th through the 29th. Our performances start at 7:30 p.m. most nights, except for Sundays, which start at 6. Sundays are also our family Sundays, so kids 12 and under can get in free on Sundays. Every night of the summer festival, the grounds open 75 minutes before the show for picnicking, pre-show entertainment, wandering bards, you know, walking through the grounds, entertaining people. So we invite people to come out early, bring their food, bring their drink, relax, enjoy themselves, and then watch some great Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm. And our listeners can find out more information about
you
the
can
production?
Find us at delshakes.org.
Okay. Well, I want to come back to more details about this production and sort of what went into it, the casting and the rehearsal process. And I was reading on your website some really an e-newsletter you sent out, a really interesting concept for the stage itself, just the setting. We'll come back to that. As I mentioned early on, 16 years now, and you've been with it since its inception.
Actually, I wasn't involved the very first year, but I started acting with the company in the second year.
Very early on,
yeah,
right.
Now I've been running it for, this is my sixth year running Delaware Shakespeare.
Let's talk about how it has grown. I'm looking at a list of some of the programming you're doing from a community tour that you started a few years back. This year, I think the first time ever, you did some work out at Longwood Gardens, another beautiful setting for Shakespeare. And you've been doing Shakespeare Poe and Friends for a number of years in October and around about Halloween, I believe, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
Late October. Late October. And then, of course, your Shakespeare and St. Valentine's Day, all the love sonnets and all that Shakespeare has to contribute.
And we really try to, as best we can, fill the year with Shakespeare. And, you know, the most transformative thing that has happened in the growth has been the addition of the community tour that started 3 years ago. And as you know, that's our program that really aims to take Shakespeare to the full spectrum of humanity by taking a full production on the road and going into places like prisons and homeless shelters and community centers and downstate libraries, senior centers, psychiatric centers, anywhere we can get to where people think that Shakespeare might not be for them or think that they can't understand Shakespeare or just think they can't afford Shakespeare. It's been really transformative for us, bringing Shakespeare to the broadest spectrum of humanity in our state. And really, one of the things we're trying to do this summer is take some of the lessons that we've learned from doing Shakespeare in these places and having it being received extremely well and kind of you know, infuse our summer festival with that. So a couple of the actors that have done our first two tours are either appearing in Much Ado or directing the production. Part of the reason that we're engaging community volunteers to step up and take a role in Much Ado is because we did that on the community tour last year, and it was just an incredible way to just immediately cut through any sense that Shakespeare is something beyond you if you just see your friend and neighbor up there on stage saying one of the lines.
I seem to recall an anecdote from one of your actors. I think it was last year, Liz Filios, in doing the monologue about the seven stages of man.
Yeah, so Liz was our Jaques last year in As You Like It when we performed at Sacred Heart Village, which is a senior apartment run by Ministry of Caring. We had seniors there. There were also some men and women from some of their homeless shelters, and then also a group of young kids from the Christina Cultural Arts Center. And so when Liz started the Seven Ages of Man speech, she looked around the audience and realized that literally every age of man that's talked about in that monologue was present in the audience that night. And so she just on the fly, one by one, pulled up volunteers from the audience to take us through each of those ages of man. So the more that you can see yourself represented in these works, the more you realize, oh, this is just about me. This is just about things that I connect with and experience, and not just think, oh, that's something that was written 400 years ago. So we're really kind of inspired by that moment and a couple other moments on the tour. We're really trying to figure out, okay, how can we engage the community as participants, not just as people sitting out and watching the show, but as participants as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there any other anecdotes that sort of stick out in your mind? Because I think bringing Shakespeare to these, you know, audiences, as you mentioned, you know, that whole notion, how accessible is Shakespeare? How do you make it accessible to these audiences? And what are you seeing in their response?
Well, you know, I was doing an interview a couple months ago, and you know, they notice the same thing you notice. Like, oh, you're going to Longwood Gardens. You perform at these great historical sites, and they're like, you perform all over the state. Where's your favorite place that you perform? And I said, honestly, I was like, the best audiences we've had the last 2 years have been at Baylor Women's Correctional Institution. You know, last year when we did As You Like It there, I mean, you would have thought we had a laugh track playing. I mean, just from the moment the play began, those ladies were into it, and you know, ready to respond and ready to laugh. And yet to the question of, well, what do you do? It's like, well, we just do Shakespeare well, you know, and when you do it well and know that it's about things that are going on in the heart of men and women right now, people respond to it and connect to it. And, you know, that's, so if ever anybody comes up to me and says, oh, we can't understand Shakespeare, all those big words, all those, I was like, you come with me to the Baylor Women's Correctional Institution and you tell me that people can't understand and appreciate and have fun with Shakespeare, because we see it. We see it across the state and across, you know, demographic barriers, and you know, everywhere we go, we just see people that are able to make connections. So as long as we tell the story clearly and, you know, bring our heart and soul to it, we've had no problem with people connecting and enjoying it.
You've touched on it, but could you speak to not only the universality, but also the timelessness of Shakespeare?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say we were so this spring, in the run-up to Much Ado About Nothing, we did a series of workshops called Reflecting Shakespeare. With the aim was just to take short scenes from Much Ado About Nothing, go into a lot of these places that we've either taken our community tour or will take it, and just say, hey, we're going to read this scene. We want you to tell us, you know, what you see about it. And we were at the Christina Cultural Arts Center with these middle school kids. And just from, like, a description of Beatrice and Benedict and like the people that love to hate each other. 5 minutes into this workshop, this one girl steps up and says, I am Beatrice. I play this role every day of my life. And we had with us our kind of look board of the costume sketches for the play. Mm-hmm. And the teaching artist had kind of introduced some of the characters at that point. And this girl goes on like a 3-minute impromptu lecture where she points to every single one of these characters and identifies someone in her life that represents one of those characters or the relationships in it. And I was like, if I could record that, and you know, because it is timeless. You know, once you boil it down to, oh, this is a person who likes to pretend that she doesn't like this guy, but really, really does. Then yeah, it all drops away. Be like, oh yeah, I'm Beatrice. I'm Benedict. I get this.
Now, what went into selecting Much Ado About Nothing this season? Because I know you think long term of what have we been doing, where are we going? So why this piece this year?
Well, we did Henry V last year. So we typically, once we do a serious play, we'll try to follow up with a comedy. And I had another comedy in mind that we hadn't done before. And I was talking to our director last year about the show. She was like, "You don't want to do that play." It's like, "You want to do Much Ado About Nothing." And I was like, "You're right. That's a much more fun play." And we had a couple actors kind of in mind that were like, "Oh, they'd make a really good Beatrice and Benedict." And we hadn't done it in many, many years. So it was as simple as that. You know, it was just, "That's right. We haven't done that play. That's actually a play I'm more excited about than this other Shakespeare play." So away we went.
Well, I want to pursue now the sort of the components of the production, the acting, the set design, all of that. But first, let me remind our listeners, you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest in the studio today is the producing artistic director of Delaware Shakespeare, David Stradley. We're talking about this summer's production of Much Ado About Nothing. You referenced the actors, and I know over the 16 years Delaware Shakespeare has been in existence, your range of actors has expanded tremendously, not only in ability, but also in geography. Could you speak to, you know, where are you going to bring in the actors that you're bringing in?
Well, Delaware Shakespeare is part of the larger Greater Philadelphia theater community. So the large majority of our actors come from, you know, about a 30 to 45 minute radius, and we're really excited this year that this will be our first summer festival production that will feature two members of Actors Equity Association, Krista Apple and Jay Hernandez. Jay's been a fan favorite of our community tours, appearing in both Pericles and As You Like It. And Krista is, I think, one of the treasures of the Philadelphia theater community. She's a professor at University of the Arts, a company member at the Wilma Theater, a Barrymore Award-winning actor, and someone who can just make Shakespeare so clear and wonderful. So I've been watching her in rehearsals and just going, "I am so glad that as a company we've come to the place now where we're able to employ actors like this." Mm-hmm. But we really enjoy bringing, again, we enjoy bringing a broad mix of the community together in our audiences, but also in our cast, particularly for the summer festival productions, which are really these, you know, communal celebrations. So we have 10 professional actors, again, most of whom come from the Philadelphia area. But then we have 5 college apprentices who, again, come from area colleges, and they either have just graduated or, you know, are a year or two away from graduating. And that it's an opportunity for them to have a professional experience with classical theater before they actually begin their professional careers. And it's really great to see the apprentice actors watching these professionals who've been working for 10, 20 years, learning from them, asking questions about them, and then blossoming in their own rights. And then we have high school interns who, while they don't appear in the stage production, serve as our wandering bards, entertaining the crowd before the show. And it just creates for a really just joyous and free-flowing rehearsal room when you have people at all different levels of their experiences coming together to create these plays. And our hope then is that it then creates a production that gives access points for people at many different points in their own just experiences as human beings. Mm-hmm. We're also glad to have a couple of Wilmington standouts. Kim Graham, who is a kind of beloved spoken word artist and you know, drama teacher at Christina Cultural Arts Center, is playing in our production the role of Antonia. We've turned Leonardo's brother Antonio into Antonia. So we're glad to have Kim in the show as well.
Now, new this year, I don't think you've done this before. You have what you have on your website as a rotating roster of area faith leaders.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
So again, that was inspired by the community tour last year. And As You Like It, at the end of the play, there's a character that comes in called the second brother who comes in and delivers some basically exposition that helps us sum up the plot. And it just blew our minds. It was incredible every time that happened. We're like, can we do that in our summer show? And in Much About Nothing, there is the role of Friar Francis, who comes out to officiate a wedding kind of at the middle of the play and then shows up at the end to help summarize things. it's a little bit of a bigger role than Second Brother. But I talked to our director who did As You Like It, Bijan No. So she'd seen this, you know, volunteer thing in action. I was like, what do you think if we got a rotating roster of, you know, faith leaders who could step in and play this part on a nightly basis? And she was a little nervous at first. She was like, oh, but it's a bigger role. There's actually a pretty big monologue that's really important. She goes, these aren't performers. I was like, well, no, but every week they get up in front of their congregations and deliver a sermon. So she ultimately said, okay, let's do this. So over rehearsals, we've been inviting them in to kind of watch rehearsals. We had two special rehearsals just for these faith leaders to kind of go over the text and go over the blocking. And we're really excited to have them bring their own lived experience as a faith leader to this role in the play to give it some deeper resonance and, again, deeper just community connection.
So how many different faith leaders do you have engaged?
We have seven faith leaders.
Okay.
So Rabbi Beals from Congregation Beth Shalom, Reverend Edwin Estevez from Grace Methodist Church, Reverend Roberta Finkelstein from the First Unitarian Universalist, and several more. I can continue mm-hmm. listing them if you want.
I just think that's a wonderful idea. That, you know, to really engage the community in that way.
And one of the standouts so far, just because he's been showing up the most, has been Bishop Todd Townsend from the Resurrection Center.
Mm-hmm.
He came to the first rehearsal. He's been showing up at a lot of the rehearsals to staging his scenes, and you know. He just is always asking questions of the actors and directors, so it's been really cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Now I've been reading too that, as a theater artist myself, you walk into a theater space and you know the set designers say, okay, these are the dimensions that I have, you know, the depth of the stage and the width and so the height and all that. So what can I do in this space? But there's a defined stage. And then what do I do on that defined stage? Now, Rockwood is a different beast altogether. There's not a defined stage. There is the space that's at your command. So, and I know there's been some innovative thinking about the use of the space this year.
Yeah, so every year, I mean, in the theater, we have what sometimes is called a black box theater. You know, mm-hmm. it's a small black room that you can manipulate however you want. And we've started kind of thinking about Rockwood Park as our green box theater. Because every year, once we get the director and the design team together, we just go out to the park and go, all right, what are you imagining the story feeling like this year? Where might it take place in the back lawn here of Rockwood? And, you know, in the last several years, we've had In the Round, we've had Thrust, we've had a 64-foot runway stage. So this year, the setting will actually be a little more traditional. It's kind of more of a proscenium in-stage alignment, but it's just these circular platforms with a runway connecting them. So again, it's not a kind of existing stage space, and there's always a learning curve for our actors because they're like, okay, well, what is this stage? Okay, it's this platform here and this platform here and this. And then for our front of house team all as well, we have to kind of figure out each summer, all right, where are the audience aisles going to be? And how do we? So it's exhausting. It's definitely, you know, a challenge we give ourselves, but it's gotten to the point now where the audience comes in each year and goes, oh, where's the stage going to be? Where's the stage going to be this year? And it provides us with flexibility and the ability to go, okay, what does this play, this production, this play, what's the staging that it needs? And it gives us the flexibility to create that.
Now, one of the other big challenges with an outdoor space that isn't built, you know, as a performance space is lighting and sound. You must have
sound.
Some masterful technicians.
Yeah, masterful technicians and a wonderful foundation community here in Delaware that has provided some grants for us over the years to be able to increase our sound technology. So groups like the Marmot Foundation, Crystal Trust, and a couple others that have allowed us to invest in microphone technology, invest in new speakers, new soundboards. So one of our reviews last year we were very excited about because it said something like, and the best outdoor sound that I've heard in outdoor production in many a year.
That's
so
great.
That's been nice to hear.
Right. Yeah. But this, with the change in the orientation of the set, mm-hmm. The lighting designers have to take new factors into consideration each year.
Yeah. So, the last couple of years being In the Round, that's a different lighting challenge. And this year with more of an in stage. So we're actually trying a new kind of infrastructure this year for our lighting instruments, mm-hmm. which we hope will be a little bit easier on the tech team as they mm-hmm. put it up. So there's a lot of new thinking every year. They go, okay, how are we going to light this, and where are the lights going to hang? And
now, some Shakespeare plays are, I think, probably better known for some of the memorable lines or quotes. I mean, Henry V is just riddled with them. What comes out of Much Ado About Nothing?
The first one that comes to mind is, oh, let it be writ down that I am an ass. So we have the great character of Dogberry, who is the kind of police chief, not a very well put together police chief, and is just dominated by malapropisms. He's got a lot of great lines. The other one that always rings true for me is, we are the only love gods, when the character of Don Pedro decides that he's going to try to get Beatrice and Benedict together. But there's really, as in all Shakespeare, there's just joyous words put together, and it's the actors are having so much fun saying them, and we hope the audience has so much fun listening to them and realizing that sometimes, like, oh, I didn't realize that, you know, that line came from this play.
Mm-hmm. So. And your cast size for this is?
We have a cast of 15 actors. So we have 10 professional actors, 5 college apprentices, and then we also have 2 live musicians. We have a guitarist, and we're really excited. This will be our first year having trumpet as part of the soundscape. So a gentleman named Lucas Sherman, who just graduated from the University of Delaware, has been working with our composer, Michael Hahn, to develop the score for the show. So, you know, I talked at the beginning that we're really aiming for this to kind of be a communal celebration. Trumpet is definitely a party instrument that just kind of blares out and says, come join. You know, we've got a celebration ready to happen.
Well, in the 30 seconds we have left, again, where can people find out more information about
Please
Much Ado
check
About
out
Nothing?
Our website at delshakes.org. Much Ado About Nothing runs July 13th to the 29th. General admission tickets are $20 with discounts for seniors, students, and military.
So it's an opportunity to see Shakespeare outdoors. And as you mentioned, you can bring your picnic dinner and beverage, and it's really a wonderful opportunity. Should people bring lawn chairs, blankets?
Yeah, seating is on your own chairs or blankets, so please bring that.
Okay, great. Well, David Stradley, the Producing Artistic Director of Delaware Shakespeare, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Paul.